Welcome to Choose Life, the radio teaching ministry of author, speaker, and Bible teacher, Deborah Ross. At one point or another, most of us come to a place in life where we realize just how desperately we need a Savior. So what should your response to that realization be? It's taking the plunge and acknowledging that you do in fact need a Savior who will save you from the consequences of sin. With more on Being on Fire for Christ, here's Deborah Ross.
Today's lesson is called Start a Fire, Fan the Flame. So how does the fire get started anyway? In John 3:3, Jesus tells Nicodemus, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, when this verse says you can't see the kingdom of God, what this really means is you can't participate in the kingdom of God. You can't understand the kingdom of God. You can't have the benefits of the kingdom of God. You know, the kingdom of God won't really make any sense to you. It may sound good. It may sound like, oh, that sounds really good. And, you know, that makes me feel good. It gives me goosebumps. But unless you're born again, then you're not in the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is for God's children. God wants everyone to be in his kingdom. The invitation is come, come, whosoever, come. But unless one is born again, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. So to get the fire started, to get that fire started inside of your heart, inside of your soul, you got to make that plunge. You got to say, you know what? My life is not working. I need a Savior. I give you all of me and I take all of you. Would you come into my heart? Would you change me? Would you feel me? Would you love me? Would you keep me? I need you, Lord. And then as we read on in John 3:3, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man or a woman be born of water and of the Spirit, they cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Now, the water is the Word. You see, once you become a born-again Christian, you begin to hunger and thirst for righteousness. And as you read God's Word, you are being washed by the water of the Word. The Word washes you. It makes you clean. It gives you a new perspective. It helps you to agree with God and disagree with the world. It helps you to have your mind transformed so that you can see things the way God sees things, so that you can have hope. You can have life and life more abundantly. So once you're born again, born of the Spirit, and born of the water, the washing of the water of the Word, then you enter into the kingdom of God. And that which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And then it says, "Don't marvel that I said unto you that you must be born again." This is what Jesus said. He says, "The wind blows where it list, and you hear the sound of the wind, but you can't really tell where it's coming from. Or you can't really tell where it's going to." He says, "So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." You know, we can hear the wind. We can feel the wind. But we may not understand where the wind originated from. We feel it. We hear it. But we don't understand it. But you know what? With God, when you become a born-again Christian, all of a sudden, you begin to hear God's voice. You begin to sense His presence. You may not understand all of the details about God because He's God and He's not to be understood. But you hear Him. You hear His voice like you hear the wind. You will hear Him. So start a fire. Start a fire in your soul. Give Him your life. Give Him your life. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 7:10, it says, "For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death." And I'd like to read this to you in the easy-to-read version. Listen at this. It says, "The kind of sorrow God wants makes people decide to change their lives. This leads them to salvation. And we cannot be sorry for that. But the kind of sorrow that the world has will bring death.
You see, God wants to bring life. He wants to start a fire in your soul that will bring life, life inside of you, life to those that you come in contact with, life, life. So have you had a time in your life where you had godly sorrow because of your sin, not because you got caught, not because you're ashamed and embarrassed and all that, but because you are sorry that you sinned against a holy God? Have you had a time where you changed direction and went the other way and you said, God, I can only do this if you empower me to do it. I can't do it. I know how to go this way. It's familiar. It's comfortable. But this new way, following you, I know nothing about it. Would you help me? Would you empower me to go the new way? Now, if you said yes to this, praise the Lord. If you're already a born-again Christian, we praise God with you. If you're not a born-again Christian, then we pray that today will be the day of your salvation. But I'm going to talk to you just a minute about fanning the flame. So let's say that you are a born-again Christian. You have repented of your sin. You have a relationship with Jesus. What we're going to talk about today is more love, more power, more of Him in your life, more of the Holy Spirit, more intimacy, more anointing, more spiritual gifts, more understanding, more unfolding of truth, more effectiveness in ministry, more fire. Did you know that Jesus appeared to over 500 believers? This was after His death and before His ascension. Now think about this. He was dead. Dead. He was a dead man. Yet He appeared in front of over 500 people. And the message was, I want you to go to Jerusalem and I want you to wait. Wait for what? Wait for the Holy Spirit. Wait for power. Interestingly, out of the 500 people who saw a dead man who was now alive, only 120 of those people actually went and waited on the Holy Spirit. Now, you would think, you know, most people say, oh, well, if Jesus comes to me and talks to me, then I'll believe. Well, would you? Because there was 380 people who saw this Jesus who was crucified alive, and they did not do what He said. So the question is, are you one of the 120 or are you one of the 380? The 120 said, we want more. We want more. More power, more anointing, more spiritual gifts, more understanding, more unfolding of truth, more effectiveness in ministry, more fire. We want more of Him. Now, if you're one of the 120, I can tell you this. You're probably going to be mocked because you're going to be one of those radical people who really is on fire for the Lord. You know, they mock the 120. They said, oh, they must be drunk. And they'll say the same of you. They'll say, oh, they're just radical. They're just a little bit off the deep end. They're just a little bit too much. You know, why can't they be like everybody else and just be a regular churchgoer? But friend, God wants us to dive in deep with Him. He wants us to not only start the fire, but to fan the flame and to keep the flame alive. And we can only do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. So if you're feeling empty, if you're feeling powerless, maybe you're feeling dumb. Maybe you're feeling hopeless, discouraged. Maybe you feel like it's too hard for you to share the gospel with other people. You're a Christian, but it's just not easy for you. Or maybe you just want more of Him. I've got the solution. You've got to start the fire. Then you got to fan the flame. The Holy Spirit of God is like electricity that goes around the world. Electricity, it's power. Power. And you can't live a victorious Christian life without the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life. The romance of the Holy Spirit brings a sweet, calm, and peaceful presence. The Holy Spirit will enable you to forgive those who have hurt you. The fellowship with the Holy Spirit will heal a broken heart, a tormented soul, and a crushed spirit. The ministry of the Holy Spirit will bring deliverance from drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, gambling, sexual perversions, and other addictions. The anointing of the Holy Spirit launches a person into the realm of the supernatural, where anything is possible. But the anointing is only available to those who thirst for more of God, more of Jesus, more of the Holy Spirit. The wooing of the Holy Spirit will cause your loved ones to become born-again believers, and the patience of the Holy Spirit will empower you to wait in expectation for your loved ones to be saved, even if it takes many years. The encouragement of the Holy Spirit will enable you to recover from negativity, persecution, setbacks, threats, misunderstandings, hardships, embarrassment, and rejection. So let go. Let God. Have anticipation. Have expectation. In Acts 1:5, Jesus said, "John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And then it says in Acts 1:8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." You know, when Jesus said to go to Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit, Jerusalem is the city of God. It's the dwelling place of God. It's like in Psalm 91, when we talk about the secret place of God, it's God. So go to Jerusalem, go to the secret place of God, go to the dwelling place of God and wait. Wait for the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon you, to not only fill you, but to baptize you, that you will have power and anointing to reach a lost and dying world, that you will have a fire that burns so bright that others will say, "What is it about you that's different? I need what you have. I need what you have." You know, Acts 19:2, Paul asked John's disciples, he says, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." The Holy Spirit comes to live inside of every believer when they are born again. But God wants us to continually be filled and refilled. He wants us to be baptized, immersed in the Holy Spirit. And this, my friend, will come when we wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Seek Him with anticipation, with expectation. He wants to fill you today. He wants to empower you today. He wants you to have more of Him, more love, more power, more of Jesus, more of God, more of the Holy Spirit. Would you wait on Him today? Would you say, "God, I need you. I need you to save my soul, and I need you to fill me to overflowing with more of you. I need you, Lord. I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. And I need you in my life so that I can be effective in ministry for your glory. Thank you, Lord, for empowering me. Thank you, Lord, for filling me. Thank you, Lord, for fanning the flame so that I can be a light in a dark world. In Jesus' name, amen."
Choose Life has been paid for by the friends and partners of Deborah Ross Ministries. Thank you for your support. Tune in next week for more Bible teaching with author and speaker Deborah Ross. Until then, go to DeborahRossMinistries.org for more encouraging messages, plus books, CDs, articles, partnership information, and how to stay connected with Deborah. Choose Life is committed to strengthening families, encouraging faith, and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Find out more at DeborahRossMinistries.org.
Hello, I'm Pastor Tim Fowler. Choose Life with Deborah Ross has been sponsored by The Body Church of Rock Hill, South Carolina. Purposely non-traditional, The Body, a church for anybody, where everybody is somebody to God, and that makes you special to us. Join us Sunday mornings at 10:30. Come as you are and experience the goodness of God at The Body Church of Rock Hill, South Carolina. And invite the whole family to be part of The Body Fellowship. I'll see you there. Find us online at thebodylive.com.